Hey guys, welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This is October the 1st, 2019, where we are talking about Black Room, Paratopic, and Paperbark. So we're talking about three games this week, but they're all mostly short. Pretty short. Black Room. I was in Black Room for a couple of hours. But anyways, we can talk about that later. So we always start out with our recordings with intros. And our intro question always has to do with the game or games that we're chatting about. This one kind of goes along with Paratopic. Your intro question for each of you, what is the best, weirdest, or favorite roadside attraction you've ever experienced? Experienced. If you don't have any, like if you're just not a roadside attraction person, maybe one that you have seen that you'd be like, that'd be cool to go to. If you don't have any personal experience. So starting at the top.
All right, this is Franco. Definitely the weirdest slash the disappointing, I guess. I don't know. South of the border. On the way, if anybody has ever gone to like from the Northeast down to like south of in the Carolinas, there's this road stop that's huge. It's called South of the Border.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's the running joke is it's like you get from like 50 miles out, you get like 50 miles to south of the border. 49 miles to south of the border. It's unrelenting. And it's so disappointing.
So what is it? So what is south of the border?
It's like a souvenir slash rest stop slash just like we'll sell you crap.
The border of what?
It's supposed to be like south of the Mason-Dixon line, I guess. I don't know. It's between, I think, North Carolina and South Carolina.
I think a lot of places have stuff like that. That's interesting, though. I haven't been to that, but yeah. Cool. Yeah,
my favorites have always been whenever there's a kid going down to the Jersey Shore, stopping at the vegetable, the farmer's market stands on the side, because they always had some really good stuff.
Awesome. All right, next.
Hi, this is Kevin, and I don't really have anything. I kind of wanted to see, like, a giant ball of yarn, or like the I'm not sure where it is. I believe it's in the United States, though. Somebody's made like Stonehenge, but it's made out of cars.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
But yeah, I haven't. We've always kind of driven on like more of major highways stuff, like Route 80. So, not really any roads.
Okay. All right. Next.
This is Chris. I haven't really been to any roadside attraction. The one thing that kind of comes to mind, though, and it's not necessarily a roadside attraction, but being from Massachusetts, we have Plymouth Rock. And I wouldn't say it's a favorite thing. I would say it's probably a very completely disappointing thing. And for people to drive or to fly completely out of their way to come and see Plymouth Rock, only to be very, very disappointed.
It's a rock.
It's a tiny little I wouldn't even call it a boulder. It's probably no more than 10 feet across. And you're probably about 20 feet up above it too. And it's basically just this rock sitting in sand with a plaque next to it. Or on it or something. I can't remember. It was just.
And so I'm guessing that's supposedly where the ships came in.
Yes. And it was like, wow. So
you would think that they would capitalize on this. Like, did they have like anything else to go along with it, or that was it? Like, they didn't have like a museum or
do they have a Plymouth Rock model?
No, they have the plantations and everything in the area as well, mm-hmm. like the yeah. The mock plantation there. But but yeah, it's like that's all it was. And like everyone makes such a big deal about it.
Interesting, you know? And because they've really like made something of Salem. You know, Salem, they've kind of put like 5 museums there, and yeah. Cool. All yeah. right. Well, this is Steph, and gosh, you know, I think I will West Virginia represent, even though this wasn't my first like answer, but there is a roadside attraction close to, not too far off from the New River Gorge Bridge, which is a huge bridge here in West Virginia, and it's like, I want to say like the longest extension bridge in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's this little place called the Mystery Hole, and they have a small gift shop. I've only been there once, and I was very young when we went there, but it has a little gift shop, and then it also has like this cool kind of like interactive museum is giving it a lot of credit. Like, it's basically like a few rooms that like there's something about the way that it's in a structure, it's in like a house, like a building, and there's something about the way that it's built that it makes you feel really off balance. I'm sure it has something to do with like the walls and the floors, but you know, you start feeling really off balance, and they have like visual effects in there, and like it's kind of this whole like this hole in the wall, but you know, and it's not like the best thing in the world, but like people actually like go to it, and people from the state are really excited about it. So it's kind of a big deal here. Yeah, so that's my favorite little like off-road attraction. Yeah, so I lost my notes. Okay, here we go. All right, so first we're going to talk about Black Room, which was created in 2000 or released in 2017 by Cassie McQuater. And it is a browser-based game. A little synopsis of it is, Black Room is a browser-based narrative game about falling asleep while on your computer on the internet. You play as an insomniac on the verge of sleep, moving through shifting states of consciousness. Often interrupted, you continually return to the Black Room, a meditation technique your mother taught you for falling asleep, visualizing black flowers and a black face on a black table in the center of a black room. So, first off, did anyone like try this meditative technique? Because has anyone heard about it before?
No.
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 I feel like I've heard something similar in some way before, but not this specifically. Did anyone try it? No.
I didn't get to play it, so.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I gave it a few minutes, actually, the other night, and something came into my mind, so I didn't get all the way into the room. I didn't place everything where it should have been. So it didn't work for me, but that's only because I went on to think about something else. Frank, yes.
Does the game let you try the technique, or what was it?
No. I mean, but it explains the technique.
Oh, I missed
technique, Squidward, technique.
Yeah, like in the dialogue and like the things that you read.
Gotcha.
I would guess the narrator talks about the technique and what you do, like, you know, like doing the Black Room. And the you know, because, well, at first, like, she's very vague about it, but then it goes into more detail kind of like halfway through, I think.
Okay.
How long did you guys play this? I mean, because you could have like completely sped through it. Did anyone, Chris stopped finishing it, didn't finish it. Kevin didn't get to it. Frank, did you finish the game?
Yes, I did. About I'm trying to think the exact point that I started to like speed up things. I'm thinking 3/4 of the way through.
Okay.
Where it's like the rooms that just had the, you know, the eye that you could scroll.
Yes.
It was like, once I got to that, one of those rooms, it's like, okay, nothing to do here. Just moving on.
you didn't like seeing the little, like, for those listening, like this browser game, like, you know, it was kind of like going along with this kind of like a person falling asleep and this whole, like, it had like dialogue in between the scenes, but it also was composited using various things from older PC or Nintendo games or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I recognize a few of them. That's one of the things, like, I mean, I did find the, and then there was this one, there was different ways, different rooms that you went in and different things that you did in each room. There's this one where it just had an eye and you're basically just looking around. Like, you're just like going across the screen, looking at this like large square of space, which with a bunch of different figures in it, like punching and flying around. From like that you would recognize a lot of them from older games. And yeah, so like I would kind of quickly go through them as I got further into the game, but like I still liked seeing some things and being like, oh my gosh, that's from the Aladdin game, or that's from this game, or I kind of remember this game, but I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, like I said, I'm about 3/4 of the way. It's like, after a while, it's like, okay, I don't have to go all the way, scroll all the way around this picture to get the theme. I can see, you know, generally 80% of what's in that frame.
Pretty much.
And it's like, okay, there's nothing to interact with. It's just sort of like to experience. So,
yeah. The only variations you'd usually get is like the top and the bottom. There would be like different things from the top and from the bottom of the square that you could explore. But yeah, I probably played it about 2 hours, probably.
That's about right for me. The rooms where you collect on stuff to have it interact was kind of interesting. Just was a little inconsistent because sometimes you would lose the hand that indicates stuff you could click on. So it's like, oh boy, now I got to click on like everything in the room just to see if it does anything.
Did you have I'm guessing that was Madeline coming in, correct?
Hi.
Yes. Hey. It's okay. Welcome, Madeline. We were just talking about Black Room. So we're not that far in. So did you guys have a favorite kind of what we'll call a mini game? So that would either be like a favorite type of room, like the eye rooms or the rooms that you click on things. Frank, you said you found more the rooms where you click on things and could interact with them a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, that was just, you know, and like you said, I remember some of the, like, the fire and stuff like that.
Yes, the sound bites were great.
Some of the old sound bites from old games. I mean, one, you know, slight courtesy. I mean, it got to be a little repetitive because you reused a lot of assets. So it was... So if it progressed, I think, you know, it could use a little bit more differentiation between, you know, as you progressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But otherwise, you know, I didn't mind. I went to all those rooms. I didn't, like, you know, stop going to the rooms.
Yeah. I too liked the little mini game of clicking on things and, you know, being able to interact. I found it frustrating that like not everything was interactive. But it was only a minor frustration. I wanted everything to do something.
True. Gosh darn it. Do it.
But I thought it was kind of cool in some instances, like you would click on just a random like area and something would happen. Like nothing in particular was there, but like a mirror would break if you clicked on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like across the room. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
I didn't have I didn't devote a lot of time to it, but the one where Jennifer Simpson is running through screens from, some of them are from like Oregon Trail.
Yes.
I remember distinctly some of those backdrops. I really, like, part of me was like, you need to get out some graph paper and start making a map and figure out what exactly is going on here. Yeah. And the other part of me is like, this isn't even super related to the rest of the game. Like, she could just wander around. You can just close it. It's fine.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That part. Yeah, I remember. Now you mentioned that. I remember that part.
Those were fun. Yeah, I enjoyed those, too. And I recognized a lot of the backgrounds from... a few of those were from the King's Quest series, because I played a lot of the older King's Quest games on the PC back in the day. Yeah, I recognized a few of them and I was like, that looks really familiar, but yeah, really cool. So what did you think about the evolution of the rooms? Did you find that, like, Frank, you said that you felt that there was some monotony and monotony in the rooms.
Yeah, once you got to this is just for me. You know, you got to a point where, okay, there's three types of rooms. There's the room you just look around, and the one you click on things, and the one you wander through things. And it was just like, I wouldn't say there's no purpose to them, but it was like, okay, what am I? Again, I'm a kind of gamer that, like, you know, what's my role in this game?
Right.
It's like, okay, I experienced it. Do I have to experience it 10 times?
You know? I did like the evolution of, like, the main rooms, because I felt like the main rooms had an evolution, because things definitely got darker. The actual colors got darker as you went along. I also felt that there might have been, like, an evolution to the rooms that you just kind of looked around in, in the eye rooms, but I couldn't place it. And I think one thing that I ran into with this game is I kept expecting it to take a different turn than I think it was even meant to be. Like, I kept... Mm-hmm. I think my problem was that I read like last week that it was a that it was first, like, originated as a feminist dungeon crawler. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, this is going to have, like, a feminist message. This is going to have something. And I mean, and in a way, if you read her story, like, that basically came from because her grandmother actually, like, played video games. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the older games. And so she said that's how she got a lot of her video game, into video games younger, is because she couldn't have them at her house, at her parents' house that she grew up in. But every time she went to her grandmother's house, like, that's something that her grandmother used to fight. I mean, not to fight, but because she had insomnia and anxiety, is she would play those older games a lot. And that's where she got into video games, was through her grandmother, and talking about how that when she was a little bit older and started playing those games, that she started seeing how sexist they were in a lot of cases. Like, you know, women were always scantily dressed, and amongst other things. And so that's where kind of the feminist aspect comes in. But I for some reason, while playing this game, I kept... And this is going to sound horrible, but I kept expecting it to take, like, a darker turn. Like, there was a darker narrative, like, something, like, I don't know. I was weaving my own story in my head, and it was not going along with what the developer was wanting me to weave, I think. Yeah, because I kept seeing, like, you know, in a couple of the eye rooms, there were, like, beds and stuff, and there was, like, I think, beds in a couple of the other one too. So I was like, oh my gosh, this has something to do with, like, being sexually assaulted. This has something to do with this. But I don't think that was what it was about at all. So yeah. But that's all on me.
Yeah.
That's not the developer's fault.
I really loved that she used, in all of the, like, the main rooms, I guess, that all of the, so I guess the main characters, I guess, that you could click on to give you, like, the portion of her memory when she's talking about, like,
oh yeah,
imagining, like, a sea monster in the swamp and sticking your foot in the swamp and waiting for it to get her. They're all, different like monsters or bad guys or bad girls, I guess, from different mythical traditions. Mm-hmm. And they're all women, and you don't really think about how often monsters are female characterized.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know that's less common now, I think, mm-hmm. with modern horror, but I think certainly in the past, particularly with mythical traditions, like almost all of them, the Gorgons were all women. Scylla, which if you remember back to the Odyssey, like Scylla was basically just like a hole in the ocean with teeth that was a garbage disposal for ships. But Scylla was a woman as well. So I really loved that she gave each of those monsters like their own, like what would a room look like if they had it for themselves and decorated mm-hmm. it? Like, that's kind of how I thought about it. And I really liked that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can get behind that for sure. I also liked in the main rooms the whole like having like using the browser to because you had to like restretch the browser or reposition the browser in order to see like your way to get out of the room usually, like the thing you had to push to get out, you know, to like mm-hmm. move on to the next area. That was a really cool idea. I know that she mentioned in an interview with Gamma Sutra that she also wanted it to be to have several tabs open at once, but I unfortunately didn't play that way. Like when I was done with the room, I closed it out. Like I closed out the tab. I didn't keep the tab open. So what were your, how did this game like make you feel? Did it make you feel like uneasy, which is something that the developer spoke of, or did it make you feel sleepy? Did you get that kind of dreamlike quality that she was trying to go for?
I was bored.
Chris was bored. Chris got bored. How long did you play before you quit, Chris?
I think I got to maybe the fifth room before I kind of just quit.
I was like,
because I just got tired of the repetition of the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely a different type of experience for sure.
I felt like the first, this is weird, but I guess it's just because I'm thinking about it as a video game. But I felt like the first rooms, where she's trying to imagine the black vase and the black table and the chairs, those felt more dreamlike than the actual rooms that were supposed to be the dreams with all of the women monsters in them. To me, anyway.
I agree,
but I think it's because I'm thinking about it as a video game and not as, I don't know, not yeah. as like an exercise leading into a dream.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I think like, I kind of got that too. Like it was definitely a different feel for the first couple of rooms. And I think it almost like looking back at it, maybe that was more kind of replicating kind of like that kind of feeling of like drifting off to sleep, that kind of mm-hmm. like in between. Yeah. Because that's where you got a lot of the, like you would hover over something and it would disappear.
Yes.
Or you would open the windows and like, and it would just be like a window made out of like letters and you would hover over it and it would disappear.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was like, or it'd open a little ASCII thing and it was just like, here's some clouds.
Yes.
An ASCII window would open up.
Yeah.
Yes. Or, the videos were in those too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had the videos pop up.
The ocean or something
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think they had a different feel than the rest of the rooms. Things got a little more like the monsters started getting bigger, or like the okay. you know, and the differently you started having more of those kind of like slug like creatures in the room. I don't remember what the game called them. Just kind of weird looking things. So yeah. All right. Well, any other thoughts about Black Room before we move on?
I really liked at the end how she talked about, I mean, it was the very last window, I guess. She talked about all her sisters sprouting wings and flying mm-hmm. off mm-hmm. into the night. And I was like, they all turn into gargoyles.
Yes.
but it just kind of, it also, like, and this is me reading into it like I usually do, but it just made me think about how, as she was trying to liberate all these women from past assets, mm-hmm. That like how like women as consumers of games have required more of their representation in games, and how that we're still not really where I would want to be, but we're absolutely yeah. making progress and getting
yeah.
there. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I even, like, before, because I didn't read the interview with her until just an hour ago, but, like, even noticing, like, some of the older game characters, like, that she used the assets for in the game, I was, like, I noticed, like, the first, like, even couple of, like, the eye rooms, I was, like, oh, wow, they're really, like, scantily dressed. Like, mm-hmm. there's, like, nothing there. Like, you know, yeah. it's, like, basically a bikini. And they're, like, fighting. Like, all of them were fighting, and I was, like, that's not... okay. That's not what you do in that.
It's not how this works. It's not yes, how any
that's
of this
not
works.
How any of this works. All right, so we will move on to, and we'll be this listening will be giving kind of like our final scores for these at the end individually, but first we'll talk about each of them. Next we'll talk about Paratopic, which is on PC and Mac. It was released back in March of 2018 by Arbitrary Metric. A little synopsis is you smuggle contraband VHS tapes across the border, discover the remnants of illicit industry, prepare for an assassination. This is Paratopic, an atmospheric retro 3D horror adventure through a cursed fever dream. and Kevin posted in the chat, I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was the aliens. So can you guys, like, first off, like, what did you guys think about, like, the jumping narrative? Like, it reminded me a lot, and actually, like, in an interview with them, they mentioned something about 30 Flights of Loving, or I think the people that were, I think it was the actual Game of Sutra mentioned 30 Flights of Loving rather than the developers themselves. That's what it reminded me of. What did you guys think about, like, the quick narrative style of this game? Or choppy, I guess you should say.
It's confusing at first, and then it makes sense as you start talking to the weird guy obsessed with aliens at the convenience store.
It was great.
where he's like, oh, like, if you end up encountering aliens, you end up, like, having, like, a loss of time and all this other stuff and, like, time jump things and whatever.
Like, could you imagine being that person working at, like, one of those gas stations kind of in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night? I mean, well, most of them, like, I think probably close up the inside, but
yeah,
that would be, I mean, I would probably be, like, believing in aliens as well.
Yeah. It's also kind of reminding me of, I don't really remember a huge amount of, but Slaughterhouse-5.
Oh, I haven't played that. Is that a movie or is that a game?
It's a book.
Yeah, okay, I haven't read that. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
Uncultured swine.
It's a book where the narrator goes from being on a alien, being like in a zoo essentially for aliens, to
what?
Talking about to World War II flashbacks.
Am I gonna have to read this book?
Yeah,
it's all over. It's big. It's all over the place. Yeah.
Well, it's not Frank.
That is my six word synopsis of Slaughterhouse mm-hmm. Five. I had to read it in high school.
I was gonna say some people have to read it in high school, so that makes a lot of people not like it. But
I either read it in high school or college.
I went to a Christian school. We didn't talk about slaughterhouses in a Christian school. Yeah.
I mean,
that's cool.
In a movie narrative, there was a movie made of it. you know, the quick jumps are a little disconcerting, but in a book, it's like so confusing.
So back to Paratopic.
Yes, thank you. I felt like I was going through David Lynch's crumpled up cocktail napkins of ideas.
Best thing to be looking at.
I'm trying to remember who David Lynch is.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Director of, oh God, Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't seen Twin Peaks.
Yeah. But a lot of other stuff too.
I haven't seen the newer one. So anyways, back to Paratopic. But I also really liked 30 Flirty and Thriving. I also really liked 30 Flights of Loving. So I really enjoyed this like kind of confusing jump style cut. And I was digging it a lot. There was different players. There's a T-shirt. There were different players that you played in the game, which kind of makes it is to me like I didn't catch that at first.
Nope.
While playing until like towards the end when you kind of come across like the other player that you played.
You're playing as multiple people.
Yeah, because yes. Like if you remember, like there's this one point where you go to take pictures out in the wilderness, and then at the end you have the gun and you find that person with the camera up on a stake by the dome. Playing with the person as the when you're playing with the person who had the camera, you were shot before shot. And because you saw the figure, you were shot. And then
no, I don't think you were shot. I think you were attacked.
Something happened, and you ended up a meat sickle.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. That's the important part. You ended up as a meat sickle.
Yeah.
But your camera was still left there intact.
Yes.
Also, you ended up discovering a very weird underground electricity station thing.
Yeah.
Well, some sort of.
It felt like Lost.
That's probably why I liked it.
With the Dharma tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You play as at least three different characters, I'm pretty sure. So one of them is the photographer girl who's out taking pictures and then gets attacked by whatever the thing is. One of them is an assassin, and I think I want to say she's the one that you open with when you're watching the seagulls eating the body out on the street, and then you have to load the gun. And then the other one is I think you open with the smuggler, and then you go to the.
Oh, that's right. You also have the VHS tape smuggler.
Wait. Yes. So is the person being eaten out on the street the person that you end up shooting?
I don't think so, because you shoot them at the end of that scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who knows who that guy
Although,
is?
Although, aliens, so.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there were multiple aliens in this
game. So, in an interview with Gamasutra, the developers were quoted saying that they made this as a walking sim for walking sim haters. So since you guys are connoisseurs of the walking sim now, honestly, do you agree?
Yes, because this, like, yes, it has very walking sim elements and stuff to it, but it kind of felt like you were doing
it. Mm-hmm.
Even if it was just loading a gun or taking pictures of birds.
Yeah.
Probably because the person in me that loves walking sims just wants to walk around and look at everything and not have to worry about anything else. Just walk around and pick stuff up and that's it. You did had to do stuff and there were pretty tight borders on where you could actually go. Usually most of the walking was just in the woods, which I appreciated that the second time when you're the assassin and you're hiking through the woods, that they jump cut your walk. Because even loving walking sims, I was like, I have to walk with this whole thing.
I've already been through here. Yes.
I already did this the first time.
And they give you the little mini game stuff to do and wild conversations to have in the gas station in the middle of the night. So probably a good stepping stone. Also, it's very low res, purposely.
Oh.
Which most walking sims pride themselves on being very quality visuals, because that's all that it is, really.
That's kind of what it's about. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, like, I didn't ever even consider this a walking sim.
No.
No, like, no, I was just playing...
A poor driving simulator.
Yes!
I didn't realize I was supposed to steer until, like, a minute or two after I started driving. I'm like, oh! That's why it keeps making bumping noises, because I'm supposed to actually steer the car.
Same. What did you guys enjoy the most? Like, you had, like, Madeline mentioned you had some, like, you know, mini segments, mini games. You know, you had the car driving. You had, you know, you could use the gun shooting. And then you also had the camera as well. Where you got to take some pictures of birds here and there before being supposedly becoming a meat-sickle.
Yes, Frank? Trying to remember. Steph, you might have played it a couple times, so you might know. Did you have the... I don't even remember. Did you have the camera when you're in the underground bunker thingy?
Yes.
Damn, my... Wish I
I'm trying to, I don't think I actually took any, I don't remember if I actually took any pictures down there.
I could get one of like a door or something. It might have just been weird because of angles or something like that. I'm not even sure if you taking pictures actually like put pictures on your computer.
I don't think, well, not no, that I found.
I really love the driving. Not really the part of like, yes, this is a great driving experience. No, it was more of like just the, like, because those were like some long freaking cuts, like cinematography speaking. Like, it was just you driving and you kept like, I just was like, something's gonna happen, like, and And honestly, like, it was really, like, it was kind of, yeah, because, like, well, first, it's not so dark, but it's like, dusk. And, you know, it gets darker each time that you do the driving until it's, like, almost, like, night. And you can't see that far in front of you. Apparently, this car doesn't have full-on headlights. Like, it's just, you know, or... high beams. There's no high beams on this car. You can't see that far in front of you. Honestly, like, I kept expecting like a car crash to happen, which is like my worst. It's like an anxiety thing for me. And yeah, but also at the same time, like, it felt like driving at nighttime and feeling like really like, because it just felt like, and I think it was partly the controls too, that the controls were really slow, like as far as steering the car. And it almost felt like it was easy, like the car just didn't go straight. Like, it almost sometimes kind of like curved a little bit and you'd have to put it back. And I was like, wow, this is exactly like night driving. Mm-hmm. And that, and the radio, like, I had it on the music. You had the choice of two stations, or you could turn it off. But the radio, like, I had it on music for a bit, but then I turned it to the talking station, and that was the most interesting experience. Like, I loved it. I loved it. And nothing interesting.
Talk radio now.
Nothing interesting happened. It was just like you're passing signs on the interstate.
That's
and
about it.
Every once in a while, like, the only thing that really like happened was that you look over to your right sometimes, and there would either be a gun, the suitcase, or nothing. And like, it happened like at first, like, it really like freaked me out because like I looked over, there's nothing there, you know, and I'm driving, I just happened to look to my right, I'm like, oh god, there's a gun there now, and then the suitcase.
It changed between different cuts or during
no during the cut, I mean, during the drive.
Oh, I didn't. I
yeah.
never. I guess I just didn't look over enough because yeah. every time I looked over, it was just a suitcase.
Yeah,
it would change or disappear.
So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed, and the camera thing was cool as well. I liked the camera snap sound.
Did anybody try to take a picture of the whatever was standing?
I did.
I tried
from far away, yeah. really far
it,
away.
It went fuzzy.
Yeah,
and then it like immediately disappeared as soon as I clicked the
yes.
button, and I was like, "Oh, you did it! No, you did it!"
yes.
God, now you just say that. What happens if you don't take a picture?
I think it still disappears when you get too close.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think for me, like I took the picture, and then I walked a little bit closer, and it disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Because they give you the camera on purpose because
mm-hmm.
you, of course, don't want to get close enough to actually see what it is if you can take a picture of it, right?
Exactly.
Oh, and what did you guys think about the videotape, the whole videotape, VHS tape smuggling and going to your apartment and the tapes being there and the lady, you know? Wanting one like it was a drug. She was like, I know you got them. They're in that box there behind you, you know? And you give her, you know, you finally succeed in giving her one. And then you see her in a room and she's watching the VHS tape and just becomes this like, well, then also you run into the tapes in the where you kill the guy too, where you shoot mm-hmm. the guy. There are tapes there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She turns into a flower head or something.
She doesn't.
What happens to her?
You what? Get, so you leave with the tapes, right? And then, so when it opens, when you're being interrogated, that happens at the end, I'm pretty sure, at the end of the smuggler's arc. Because he's like, don't look at the tapes. You know, I don't know what's on them. Can't watch them. It's bad, whatever. And then he's like, whatever, I'm going to watch the tapes. And then he watched the tapes and hooray, turned into infested, whatever.
Yeah, weird.
Mm-hmm.
So wait a minute. So you're saying that you're the character watching the VHS tapes that you're seeing, that's another character that you've played?
No, that's the person who is interrogating you at the very beginning of the game. Says.
Oh, but no, but Frank's talking about the woman in the apartment.
Yeah.
Right, I know. But you don't see her watch the tape.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you can watch her. You can
the door's
cracked.
Watch the tape.
You can look in her bedroom.
Because it immediately clipped me. I told her no. And immediately clipped me to the car.
I gave it to her.
I gave her the tape, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah, if you give her the tape, go ahead, Kevin.
If you give her the tape, she. It sounds like basically like an action movie. And then all of a sudden, her head turns into like a flower.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like a weird kind of like it's. I mean, it's a flower, but yeah, that's putting it. It's like her face becomes a flower, like off of her face, and then her head's kind of inside the flower, and so it's almost like a weird. And I think there's like tentacles coming out of the flower too, like some kind of like sensory mm-hmm. tentacles.
So it's a physical representation of a high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Nice.
But yeah. And then it immediately cuts after that.
Connected to Alien, but it might be connected to
Alien. It might be connected to Aliens for sure. So what did you guys think about the conversational options? Like especially when you're talking to the guy at the register at the gas station. And I found I didn't catch on to it until like halfway into like my second or third conversation with them. But oh, I guess my second. That some of them are marked as a lie and then you can say it. But then some of them weren't marked with anything, which makes me think that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Which now I just want to replay the game and look and see what all was the truth with this person. Like
that they loved giant balls of twine.
They really wanted to see a giant ball of twine.
And what was it? The lie was like, I hate waffles or something like that.
Yeah.
No, the waffles is I would rather eat pancakes.
So he would rather eat waffles.
Yeah, well, because you want to go to the Waffle House.
Yeah.
Because but the Waffle House burned down. Well, the hotel burned down.
Oh yeah. That was also
so aliens. Interesting.
I liked the milk farm where they sell milk products and they had milk of basically any kind
milk accessories.
From any mammals and milk and milk. Milk accessories. It just made me think of King of the Hill.
Yes.
Propane accessories.
Yeah.
I guess everybody caught up. Who was the guy? Who was your friend filling up your car?
Oh, that would probably be an alien.
Yeah, it looked, you couldn't really get a good look, but it looked similar to
what you saw at the dome.
Yeah, what you see out there.
Yep. Yep. I mean, according to your person, he didn't know. He was like, what friend?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Who? But yeah, you could look out the window. You could look out the door and see it standing right out there as the player. But, you know. So what was your like main takeaway from this game, or like in your opinion, like the narrative that this game was weaving?
We'll let that hang in the air.
The drug industry is messed up, and it's probably the caused by aliens.
No, I got like corporate greed. Yes. Yes, because when you go to the underground bunker, it's the electrical company, right?
Yeah,
which is really random to be in an electrical company and have a bunker that just leads to a door in the bottom of an abandoned barn. And then you can talk to the guy at the register a little bit about it, and you can ask him. And he said something about, oh, they closed down, but there's a whole bunch of abandoned, like, stuff out in the woods, and nobody's really allowed to go near it.
So are you is the photographer the one at the gas station?
I don't know. It's possible it's two different conversations.
I think because you're one there twice. Of them's the assassin, and the other one is the photographer. I think the second one's the photographer because they're talking about the
monster.
Yeah, with the alien.
Because at the very beginning, when you're the assassin and you're loading the gun, talks about hiking. So I thought it was the smuggler and the assassin, but it's not really indicated either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really have an answer for this. So if you guys do, that's great.
All the characters female? Just one character?
No idea.
Two of them were. The assassin and the photographer was. Because the assassin, when she's talking to someone, they refer to her as her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this we don't
girl.
Know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the assassin and the photographer. So we don't Unless know the smuggler.
Unless someone's being like, you know, unless it's just something someone says, no matter if it's male or female, good girl. I mean, but I'm just assuming here.
Oh, and the guy keeps calling you babe or whatever.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. I really liked at the gas station too that you could like pick up things off the counter. I mean, not off the counter, off the shelves, and just look at them. There was no reason. It was just it just added to that whole like, it added to the whole gas station experience of like driving on the road, you know, pulling in to fill up, walking into some random gas station that you've never been to before, and you're just like, wow, I could use a snack, and you're just randomly like looking through things, like. Yeah. Picking up a bag of Funyuns that you've seen a bag of Funyuns before, but you're like, oh, do I want one of these? Or, you know, no, I'll go for something else.
But nothing actually sounds good.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're just like, no.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I ever got to ask him because I had already gotten into the attractions question. about if like the energy drink or whatever would give me a heart attack.
Oh, I didn't ask.
I asked if there was anything to keep me awake or whatever. So he told me about some like woman, the local woman that makes like energy drink stuff or something.
Nice.
Like, sort of energy thing.
Yeah, it was definitely a small town. Yeah, so all right. Anything else that you want to discuss about Pure Topic before we move on to the last game, Paper Bark?
I'm not saying was the alien.
All right,
but it
Kevin.
Was the alien.
Okay. So next and last, we have Paper Bark, but not least, which is released on PC and Mac back in June of 2018 by Paper House. A little synopsis is Paper Bark is a charming game that tells a beautiful story, short story, of a wombat, the bush, and a very hot Australian summer. And the bush isn't referring to like a bush. It's referring to like the bush in Australia.
Correct.
The outback.
Yeah. So very simple story. Very like compared to Black Room and Paratopic, this was a nice upper, I guess you can say. A very nice kind of like relaxer.
I think it was Madeline posted. It's a palate cleanser.
It is a palate cleanser, yes. very, very simple, very beautiful scenery. So what was your like favorite thing about the game? We can go into the mini games here. Like what was your favorite? Like, because like they had the, there was the whole thing that if you traveling around as the wombat, like as you clicked to make the wombat move, it kind of painted the scenery. And then in the beginning, it actually had where you could, it told you to paint the scenery. So you painted on the screen to fill in like the grass and the trees and stuff. And then there was also what I like to say sticker collecting, which it was actually like you would see things like shimmering, you would go up to it and it would like add it. But to me, it reminded me of like collecting stickers. And then you had the whole like finding things where you had to find like 50 beetles, 5 dragonflies.
I really like the palette. That they, you know, the colors and the mm-hmm. scheme and the art. The collecting was cool. It sort of kept your attention, kept you motivated. and about halfway through, I realized that you didn't, you know, you could just, you could, that painting thing was all through the game. So you could, like, if the wombat's standing still, you can hold down left click and then make him look all around him and it would paint off into the distance.
I figured that out.
Yeah, so you can see more. It's if you want to look, you know, look around a corner or a little farther down the path.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I play it on computer, so I loved this game and it took forever for it to come out on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And other stuff, because originally it was just like when I had heard about it, they had talked about it being on like other stuff, but then it only was on like iPad and like iPhone forever.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was like, I want to play the dang wombat game. And you can tell that it's a mobile game. With the way that it controls.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it actually came out on other platforms.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed as I said, the sticker collecting, because I was a sticker collector as a child. I collected stickers. I had a whole, photo album, like full-size family photo album of stickers when I was younger. Actually, I think I still have it. I think so. I think I still have it somewhere.
Steph's going to end up going and looking for that after.
Well, I think it's like right in my closet. I don't have to look very far. But yeah, so it's right here in front of me, guys. I keep it by my bedside.
it's under my pillow every night, guys.
Oh, I really enjoy, that'd be very precious if it was. I really enjoyed the sticker collecting. I didn't collect as much of the bugs and stuff as I, because there were a few times to where like I didn't realize I was moving on from the scene. Because like you had several, for this listening, you had several, like you had different levels. And so you would move on from one level to the other without really any way of going back. And so sometimes it took me like halfway through the game to realize like that you follow the footprints to kind of like lead you kind of where you're supposed to go rather than just like looking around. So I kind of went through the first couple of, like the first area especially without like exploring all of it. But yeah. And of course I liked the whole like in the beginning where you could like paint the whole like scenery. Mm-hmm. I was like, is this going to be a game about painting? Which it wasn't. I mean, it kind of was. I mean, you kind of painted it as you clicked to move, but it wasn't quite the same feeling of like, I'm going to paint the picture. This is how painting works, right? Yeah. So Frank, how did you, like, did you find all the bugs? I was like, I bet Frank is like eating this up.
I really tried.
Stickers. I only found like half the stickers.
I only got like half of them.
Some of them are
in like hidden areas stuff.
Yeah, I found basically a couple of the tougher ones, and then some of the simpler, like a lot of the animals I missed.
Yeah, I think me too.
I don't know if I was just not clicking on them right or not clicking on the right time, but got all the plants, just didn't get the animals. But yeah, I think I was in the 30s with the bugs. I think the beetles.
Me too, Frank.
And then I missed one dragonfly.
Oh, yeah, I think I did too. I don't think I got any of them all the way. Like, it was except eating the flowers. I think I did get enough. I think I was one off on the flowers, actually.
Yeah, there's so many bugs. It's hard to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
they're so close to the color of the tree.
There were times where like I was like, oh, I haven't been looking for bugs. So I would have to like, I would backtrack a bit, but I was pretty sure I didn't like backtrack all the way.
I was finding all sorts of bugs, even bugs that weren't on the list.
Oh, wow.
You know,
computer bugs and everything that the cockatiels that you would get close to them and he would back up into a branch and then I couldn't move.
What? That's crazy.
So you jammed yourself into
a corner?
So I had to exit to the main menu and start the whole thing over again.
Oh, that's crazy.
That happened twice. And then when I was done with the game, I couldn't even quit out of the game and had to force close it, which then caused Steam to become unresponsive.
Oh, that's so weird. I had no issues whatsoever with any of that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I have no idea what was going on.
Yeah, wow. I basically just had some visual bugs a little bit. Like, it was a little bit blinky in certain parts where it was like...
I didn't notice anything.
No, neither did I.
Yeah. Me and Frank must have just been entranced by everything.
What were you playing on?
I was PC. I think Frank was on console.
No, it's right? PC. I put on PC.
Yeah.
Is it on? Because I thought it was PC and iOS only.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was on console.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, no. I didn't know either. Frank said something earlier and Kevin said, I played it on PC. So I thought it was, anyways. Yeah.
I think it was because he was playing with controllers.
My first mental response was console for Frank. So that was my bad.
It's all right. That's fine.
The fact that you were playing with a controller that threw me off.
No. I was playing with a mouse. I was playing the whole thing with a mouse.
Oh, because you said joystick. They're controls.
Anyways. So your opinion, guys, do you think that at the end of the game, spoilers for those listening, at the end of the game, the wombat finds a house, and you know, it kind of closes out that this is, you know, this is your new home. Well, I guess first we can go into that, like, and as the wombat, you know, you're kind of like walking around the, you know, the Australian bush, and all of a sudden, like, things start getting smokier and you start seeing birds fly away. So basically the bush is on fire.
Right. As I was calling it in my mind, the Bambi chapter.
So you have to find a place. Of course, I say you have to find a place. It's not anything dire for those listening. I would be more than happy to sit a kid down to this to let them play it, because It's just that basic, but very beautiful and a very nice story. So you find a place to hide while the bush burn, you know, while the fire goes over. And my West Virginian's
there's
coming
a
out.
Fire.
My West
there's
Virginian's fire. Coming out. And then during that part though, I was really afraid. I think it's just because of the type of games that we play that I just kept expecting something horrible to happen. Like, I kept expecting it to turn dark, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit. I had that same thing. a crocodile was going to pop up any second.
Well, no, for me, it was when the smoke started rolling in. And when it was like, oh God, I was like, oh no, this place is on fire. He's going to die. I was like, this is like going to be some kind of story, like sad story about like life living on after death. Like, apparently I just need to stop like weaving narratives in my head, because it takes me to dark places. And yeah, I kept expecting the wombat to die, honestly, but he did not.
What kind of horrible game would that
be? Get out of here. I mean, Kevin, think about the games that we played.
But it's just, this is like the equivalent of Firewatch or something.
But I didn't know. I mean, well, Firewatch is also, I mean, you know. Firewatch.
Well, what, because you let the turtle die?
Poor turtle. I did let the turtle die.
What kind of horrible person are you?
Let's have a moment of silence for the turtle and Firewatch.
I almost forgot the turtle. But
okay, moment over.
Anyway, moving on.
So the house at the end. So after you emerge from the area, you find a house eventually, and you find some greener pastures. And he just kind of rests on the doorstep, which I'm thinking, like, he rests in right in front of the door. And I'm like, someone's going to open that door and someone's going to get injured. Either someone's going to trip over him or the wombat's going to get injured by the door opening up on him. So do you think that... This is getting deep, guys. Do you think that this family adopted him? Like, we didn't see anyone. We didn't see any people in this house. For all we know, they could have died in the fire. Oh, my gosh.
I think he found essentially nature. It seemed like he basically found like some nature, like outback person.
It was just a house.
They had that fire alert sign.
But also, if you live in the bush and the bush catches on fire, if you live in a place that does catch on fire, then fire. I'm really sorry. I would think it could be, but it did look very house-like.
Yeah, like, at the best, I think, we could say
they could
avid
have
garden.
A house.
I guess you could be right. We don't really know either way, honestly.
At best, we could say they're an avid gardener.
I just hope they're still alive, honestly. Now I'm worried that they're all dead and the wombat's left by himself.
and it may be a couple because there were two sets of shoes.
His wombat self in going and sleeping on your boots.
Yep. We need to have a specialty episode where Steph just tells us what she thinks happens at the end of all the games that we've played. I would pay money for that.
And this is why Peter Rabbit is about communism.
Oh, God. You're right.
I don't know.
All right. So would you say that this game kind of like made you feel relaxed? Was it a relaxing experience for you guys?
It was an
other than Chris,
relaxing
Chris
experience.
Yeah, educational. Yeah, yeah. No, I would agree.
They actually
got
a scientist person. They put a scientist in the credits.
They did. Yeah. They did. I read something really quick about this. Like, oh, it's just on Wikipedia, but yeah, they were funded by, which I think was all in the credits, but it was educational, I guess. I did learn, you know, I know one thing that I did, I read about this game that I read in a few reviews was that, it's criticized of Australian gamers, that their games, the games that they create aren't like necessarily like Australian, like they don't, you know, but that this one was praised because it was very like Australian, like, you know, like it had the wildlife, it had, you know, but yeah, it was, you know, it was pretty like well regarded in its country.
Yeah, I would say this is like a perfect game. I don't know what grade you would put it in for classroom full of tablets, you know. I mean, classroom full of kids without tablets and having a little nature exploring, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I like playing this game was like, this is, you know, after I realized that no one was dying, although now I'm still a suspect on the people. You know, I was like, oh, I would like to kind of like sit down, like, you know, I think a kid would, you know, and they would get all kind of frightened about, like I did, about the fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Anything else that you have to say or want to talk about with Paper Bark before we move on to scoring?
I found it funny that you could go and rustle through, and you actually got an achievement for it, rustling through the various wombat poo. Across the environment.
I didn't see any wombat poo.
They were the cute brown cubes. Wombats poop in cube shape.
Which is a mystery to me.
I must have
completely... I don't know why, but they do. And it's amazing.
Wow, I must have completely like passed up all the wombat poop then.
They have it in whenever you
sit on top of logs.
Flies, that was basically where there was wombat poop.
Maybe I just didn't realize it was wombat poop. I mean, obviously, this is a surprise to me.
I didn't realize until I saw the achievement pop up.
Oh.
And then I looked at Wikipedia afterwards. I was like, what? They say poo in cubes? How is this possible?
Yeah. All right. Well.
on that note. Moving on from there.
I guess that we'll go into final scoring. why is a wombat poop cube shaped? Wow, it's so interesting.
Oh, thank you.
Madeline with the knowledge, dropping the knowledge in chat. Absolutely. If you guys are interested listening, just check out the Washington Post. They have a video on YouTube. Why is wombat poop cube shaped? Very informative. Very interesting. I was seeing if I had the achievement for the cube-shaped... I didn't get that many achievements. That's for sure. Nope, I didn't get the achievement. So, I must have not... Oh, I did get 2 of them. 2 out of 5. I just didn't realize it was poop then. Party pooper. Okay. Cool beans. We'll just go down the line today for scoring. So, Franco, you're going to be first, my man.
All right.
So let's start. Let's go ahead and you can give, if you want to give your scoring and final thoughts for each of them.
Okay. Black Room. As we were discussing it, what popped into my head was if I was grading a game developer class, it would be the dreaded professors. Well, this is a good start. Sort of like, it's like, okay, you have some interesting things here, but it just, I guess the word would be too diffuse. It's like the main thing of discovering her journey, I guess, or her dreams or stuff like that sort of gets muddled by all the other stuff going on. So that was sort of like that. All the other stuff was a distraction. Sort of became a distraction, I should say, because
sure.
mostly because of how much of it there was.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd have to give that a 6.75.
Oh, okay. Cool, Frank. Cool. All right. Paratopic?
Paratopic? Oh, my Lord. Bizarre. If the driving was shorter, I'd probably give it a higher score. I tried to wreck the car personally. I kept running it. I kept running it back and forth into the into the barriers, trying to wreck it. That I have to give about a 6.5. I was just, it was intriguing, but it was like too weird. I don't know.
Sure. And Paper Bark.
Paper Bark. Beautiful. Soothing, beautiful. I give that an 8.
Lovely. All right, Madeline. Madeline did not get to Bark, unfortunately, although she needs to in the future. But she did get to Black Room and Paratopic. So you can start with whichever one you want to, Madeline.
Okay. Black Room, I would say I'm going to give it an 8. I enjoyed the narrative. I liked the reuse of old assets as part of telling the story, and it's symbolic in telling the story as well. I felt like I was wishing there was more going on often, not like more stuff to look at in the rooms, but I guess more interactivity in the stuff, the places you'd go. For Paratopic, I'm going to have to give it a 10. Wow. Every time I was uncomfortable because the game was difficult or making me wait, or I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do, that's what I was supposed to be feeling in the game. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was what the developers wanted me to be feeling at that point. And so I feel like it hit every single beat exactly the way I was trying to. And it doesn't have to be beautiful. And it doesn't have to be like extremely polished, because that's not what it was trying to be. I really, really, really enjoyed it as an experience.
Great. All right. Kevin? Okay, go in however order you want to.
Well, I didn't play Black Room, so I can't really rate it. Great. Paratopic?
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was really confusing. I definitely have to play through it again to at least try to gather a little bit more of what happened. Even though I probably never will fully understand what is happening. I enjoyed the aliens part. I liked the I'm always fascinated by like television head people and
stuff. Oh yeah.
So I really liked that with the
completely forgot about that. Yeah,
the police officer guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give it 8 Naruto runners out of 10.
Nice.
Oh, area. And then Paper Bark. Been waiting for this game for a while, and I'm glad it finally came out. I enjoyed it. It was cute because the wombats are cute and adorable. I'd give it a 10.
Great. All right. Chris, you want to rate the ones that you feel comfortable rating?
Yeah, which isn't much. For Well, with Black Room, if I were to rate it, I probably would have given it a 0.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't get it at all. Mm-hmm. I found it very boring, very repetitive, and it just lost my interest very quickly. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was a game that just wasn't for me or something, but yeah, it's just, I don't know, went over my head, whatever. That's just, okay. Yeah.
That's fine.
Did not play Paratopic, so can't rate that. Paper Bark, despite the glitches that I was facing, it is a very visually pleasing game. I did find what's that game called? What is it? Unfinished Swan?
I haven't played that one. Yeah.
That whole like aspect just was giving me anxiety the whole time. I mean, because it's like it gives you the objective to collect things.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not really seeing where you're going.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard, even when you're painting. It doesn't stay, it fades over time, so...
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, there's that.
I can understand that.
And then it's like, when you do finish a collection of something, it didn't seem like it did much of anything, because I think I collected all of the purple flowers, but I don't believe I got anything, so yeah. I'm not sure with that. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I liked it. That was the other thing. I wish it would have like specifically told you were about to leave the chapter before you
left
the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I wasn't ready to move on. Like I still wanted to explore the area that I was in. But it's like it forced you to go into the next location.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have a choice. And it was like, well, I guess I'm not collecting anymore.
I guess I'm done.
And it's like, I'm not going to go back into that chapter and look around more. So, yeah. And I mean, I guess the wombat is an okay substitution for a dog. So. Yeah. The music was good as well. The Australian accent was kind of weird because I thought it was Scottish at first.
Oh, yeah.
So, not sure what was going on there because it didn't sound very Australian. But yeah, whatever. I don't know. I think I'd give it an 8.5.
Okay. Oh. Cool. All right. So for myself, I will start with Black Room. I feel that, I mean, like for what it is, I think it does okay. Like I feel like personally, like beyond my own like disappointment because I weaved its own narrative in my head that wasn't really like meant to be the game. But I kind of feel like it could have been a little more finely crafted as far as like the narrative goes, because I liked the narrative and the things that were presented. But I also felt kind of like, even though the ending was cool, but you know, and some of what was said was cool, like I agree with Madeline, like I felt like I needed something else. Like I felt like I need something more definitive as an ending. And that could be like just not what the game, what the developer intended the game to have. But just me personally, I kind of felt like I got to the end. I was like, oh, that's it. Okay. All right. I did find it really interesting and fascinating, and it was cool to see like the different little assets that I noticed from, like, I remembered from previous games that I had played, like, especially when I was younger. Yeah, and I liked the idea of it. And I guess what she was trying to communicate, which is, I didn't find that out until really today, the exact things. So I would give that, I would give Black Room probably, probably a 7.5. Yeah. For Paratopic, I really liked it. And like, as you guys were talking, I kept thinking of more stuff, like the TV head guy and then the whole elevator scene, like where you're waiting for the elevator. And it's just like, I kept thinking like, am I supposed to be doing something else in this room? Like, cause you could see the elevator thing coming down, like, you know, that it was like after you press the button and you just had to wait there for the elevator. Right? I kept thinking, am I supposed to be doing something? No, you're just supposed to wait for the elevator.
Oh, and then you had the jump.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, that was really cool. And like, and just the point that like, this was, this game was released in last year and it looks like a freaking PS1 game. And I find that like kind of creepy, but also really cool. Like it hits a nostalgia factor. While just still being like, wow, like with the, like being outdoors and like, even like with driving or like, or when you were taking pictures out in the wilderness, I was like, wow, this looks really good. Like, I feel like I'm in like a wilderness space, even though it's very low poly. Like, it was just really cool. Like how they, like, it was very low, like, low graphically, but like it still kind of made you feel immersed in the space. Just because of how they used the assets in the game. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. The music was really cool as well. I would probably get it like probably a 9.5 out of 10. And then for Parabark. Wow.
Parabark.
The combination of those two games.
I'm not saying it was wombat alien.
Great.
But it was wombat alien.
Yeah, Paperbark. I will, I really enjoyed it. It was very relaxing and calming to me, even though despite the times that I thought the wombat was going to die, looking around my own self-induced anxiety. It was good. I enjoyed like the collecting, and I like that it's just like a very wholesome game that you could sit a kid down to and let them play. That's kind of cool. We don't get a lot of those in game chat. Mm-hmm. I didn't experience any bugs. I mean, I collected bugs, but I didn't experience any game bugs. A fairly smooth experience for me. So I would give that, probably an 8.5. Yeah, we'll go with an 8.5. I feel comfortable there. So thanks, guys, for playing these games with me and for chatting about them. Yes, correct. So next week we are, and I will get those scores to tallied and put up on the interwebs and in our Discord chat as well. If you're not a part of the Discord and you're listening to this, just go to gamechat.net and there's a link there, I believe. Do we have a link for the Discord on the site, Chris?
Yeah, it's on the top right with the icons.
It's all there for you guys. It's all there for you. Get plugged into that community. I hear that all the time on YouTube. All right. Next week, we are talking about Inside. That is on October the 8th, which was released in 2016 by Playdead. And also we have our October month chat, which is on October the 15th, which is Layers of Fear 2. So that's not next week. Next week we're talking about Inside. The week after that we're talking about Layers of Fear 2, which is our October month chat. The game's fairly short. The game's fairly short, about 8 to 9 hours long, I think is what How to Beat says, how long to beat. So not too big of something to take on there. And then if you're going to be involved with the Dragon Age Inquisition chat in January, be sure to keep playing that that reminder is for myself. So if you guys want more Game Chat, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcasts under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat. And also, you can search for us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for a current game, and we might read it on the show. Email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net. You can join in by emailing us at jointhechat@thegamechat.net or send us amazing pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. Come back next week where we're chatting about Inside. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat at you later. Bye.
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 Bye.